And I'm Noah, and you're listening to A Bite Of,
where we take our current favorite pop culture obsession and enjoy it one nibble at a time.
One nibble.
At a time.
At a time. We are talking about Barbie.
This is more than a pop culture obsession. This is a pop culture phenomenon.
Yeah, it's taking over the world. Rightfully so.
Absolutely.
Rightfully so. But all thanks to Barbenheimer, and we have Oppenheimer and Barbie coming out the same day. And it's just, I mean, are we back? Is cinema back?
Barbie led the way.
For now.
Yes.
For now. It's interesting that this is happening, right? That it's just two movies completely different. Last time this happened, it was like, you know, Batman and Mamma Mia, but it didn't do these numbers.
Batamia. We could have had it.
We could have had it. So today we are talking about Barbie and lots to discuss. Lots of things that I think everybody can kind of relate to in this movie. I'm very excited to talk about it. Greta Gerwig can do no wrong.
I'm actually nervous to talk about it.
I know you are.
I can't explain it. When something is just so good, you kind of just, it's like when you read a good book. It's like when you have a book hangover. I feel like I have a movie hangover from this. And I saw it about a week ago and I just am just like, it was so good. Anytime someone says, I'm going to see Barbie, I just go, oh my God, it was so good.
Right.
And I can't say anything more than that. It was like, but the thing is, it was even more than good.
Yeah.
It was great. I mean, you know. Whatever's better than good and great.
Oh, I thought you were doing a play on Gerwig's name.
Oh, I wasn't. I was doing Tony the Tiger.
Oh.
But thank you for putting that in my head.
All right. So before we get into everything, just wanted to let people know again, we're going to keep doing this until these strikes are ended. So down below in the show notes, you can find links directly to SAG and everything that's going on with them, all the updates, also links to donate. So until the greedy ghouls decide to pay their writers, crews, and actors fair and livable wages, I mean, it's a no-brainer.
I saw a tweet today that the dad from Lizzie McGuire received a check for $0.00.
And it was one of the most popular shows at the time.
So why even bother sending the residual check if it's literally $0?
That's evil. It's evil.
It's negative money because you have to send the postage.
Yeah. They don't care. It's horrendous. They just wanted to be like, hey, by the way, you got nothing.
So messed up.
Yeah, so messed up. So down below in the show notes, you can find all that. And also find us on socials. Any of them. X now is what the kids are calling it.
X gonna give it to you.
I hate it. Stop. And then last but not least, make sure you know, subscribe, review, follow. Bells, whatever they say.
Whistles.
All that. Leave a review, do some stars, because we got some tons of content. And also, our Patreon members are getting this as a video episode. So,
yeah, you could see the Barbie that I have behind me and my collection of Spice Girls dolls as well, which I know are not Mattel or Barbie brand, but these are the only Barbies I had. And the only real Barbie I have is from a Project Runway episode. So if you want to see, you have to join the Anyway, I tried.
Say it again.
Join the Patreon.
There you go.
Yeah, woof.
It's going to come later in the episode. So we'll talk about those dolls in the corner.
They're watching you.
Yeah. All right. So let's hear a plot before we get in. That way we can set the stage.
Let's do it. Waking up in her dream house, Barbie floats down to Barbieland, where she spends her days attending Nobel Prize ceremonies and nights dancing with Barbie, 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 and Ken, 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 and Ken. One fateful night, not Midge though, never Midge. One fateful night while dancing the night away, wink, Barbie asks her fellow Barbies if they've ever thought about death. The next morning, she falls from her home and her feet fall flat. Sensing something is wrong, her fellow Barbies tell her to travel to Weird Barbie. Weird Barbie shares that the girl who is playing with her is having these life-changing thoughts. Barbie then drives, flies, camps, snowmobiles, and rockets to the real world to discover the reason why.
Good plot. Good plot.
Didn't give too much away.
It's like the first 30 minutes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Kept it nice and tight.
So spoilers ahead for all of Barbie Land, the real world, and the Barbie movie.
Let us officially take a bite of Barbie.
All right. So this let's do instant reactions, because I feel like that's a good way to like gauge how we felt about this movie. I think you already gave away what you felt, but how did you feel initially coming out of the theater?
Initially coming out of the theater, I was stunned by what it was. I felt like it gave me the laughs that I thought it was going to give me. It gave me the Barbie Easter eggs that I wanted, but it also hit on a ton of other emotions and a ton of real world things in society that really play a role in the life of a woman. And I was so happy with everything that I saw.
That's a good way to put it. Happy.
Yeah.
Happy. Yeah. Even though cried a few times.
Definitely.
But happy. Yeah. I mean, and it's, you know, it's not unbeknownst to us that it's two Kens talking about a Barbie movie. Mm. So we can't necessarily talk to like the woman aspect of it, but we could recognize it for sure for what this movie is. I really enjoyed it. I don't know what I was expecting going in. I wasn't expecting this, but I'm happy this is what we got. And of course, it's something that Greta Gerwig would do, where it's like it's a story, but there's so many layers underneath it. I mean, I think she's going to be one of the greatest film makers of our generation, because she's 3 for 3 right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to see where she goes next. We know it's Chronicles of Narnia. Let's see how that goes.
With a twist.
With a twist.
They're actually toys. I have to say that I was so, like, I was so happy with it. But I think when we've seen movies like this in the past, right, when they did Fat Albert, when they did Nancy Drew, where they're sort of like making a commentary. I mean, it's not the same thing, but those movies did this weird thing of like taking a character from a fictionalized universe and placing them in the real world.
Right.
But when they were in the real world, they were just seen as an outcast. And this kind of took that thought, really flipped it, gave it value, made it, I don't know, gave it, it was thoughtful. And I think that's, I was even relieved in that, because I thought, oh gosh, it's going to be one of these cheesy movies where they're in the real world and no one gets it. But in this movie, the real world knows that Barbies exist and that they can come to the real world.
So good.
So it just made it so much better.
Yeah.
They weren't the butt of the joke.
Yeah. I loved the beginning of the movie. I loved the movie as a whole. I feel like there is a middle part that kind of dips a little bit, mm-hmm. but the beginning part was just so cool to see how they portrayed Barbie in Barbie Land. And I loved the details of like the way she works is as if a kid is playing with her. You know, she goes from the roof down to a car. That's, you know, how mm-hmm. else are you going to get the Barbie in the
exactly.
car? It's exactly like that. She's drinking, but there's no water. Toothpaste, but she's not actually brushing. It's just the thoughtfulness behind this and the intentions are so freaking cool that I just like, the more I keep thinking about it, the more I'm like, I don't know if I could have thought about those details when making this, which right. granted, that's why the person that's making this is doing it.
Yeah.
But it's just the beginning was so, I don't know. It was just like, pink and fun and like, what are they gonna do? And the humor was just so much fun. We saw this on opening night, and I mean, there was quite a few kids in there, but there was laughs throughout the theater. I don't know, like, if it hit with the kids, I feel like some of these jokes could have just gone like way over the kids' heads, but that's fine. I think it needed to really appeal to all audiences.
It definitely did. And I think that it shows the strength of the team that was involved in this. And you can really tell that everyone believed in this vision.
Yeah.
That it wasn't, you know, quote, just making a kids movie. You know, it was, I mean, it was art.
Right.
This Barbie Dreamland that they created was gorgeous. The details of door handles, of how the pool looked like the pool where it was literally just a piece of paper.
It was
on
a sticker.
It was a sticker on top of plastic. You couldn't get it wet, otherwise it would peel up. Just everything was so perfectly crafted and done. And I think you could see how all of these experts, this talent working together, made this dream come alive. And nobody was looking at it as the butt of a joke.
Yeah.
It was taken seriously and they delivered on that.
Well, I think they do have some self-awareness, right? Mm-hmm. That it is silly and it is dolls. And I love that they somehow got Mattel to agree to not only show like the good things about Barbie, but also be like, hey, these are the issues with Barbie as well. It's just amazing. Greta Gerwig and Noah Baumbach, who are partners in real life, which I love a power couple that does movies because you just get this like synergy of creativity. But I love that they did the script. And Greta Gerwig wasn't originally supposed to direct, but she loved it so much that she was like, hey, Margot Robbie, like, I'm going to do this. You know, there's so many interviews where she talks about the process and even before getting the director role where I'm like, who else would have done this? Now that we got what we got, I couldn't imagine what we could have gotten. I mean, Amy Schumer was supposed to be Barbie.
Right.
I feel like it would have been a completely different movie just based on kind of Amy Schumer's humor and what she wants to do. So I'm glad we got the team we got for this. And Noah Baumbach is a great writer. And I'm almost curious if both of them, so like, you know, Greta was writing for the Barbie part and then like Noah Baumbach was writing for the Ken part. I'm curious like how that kind of, or they showed, you know, different perspectives for each one. I'm very curious about that writing.
Go in process. The other room and be a man.
Yeah.
Write about man things.
Duolingo.
Exactly. Just doing
that. It's so good. I think Margot Robbie, like, I mean, it's the levels of emotion that hit you out of nowhere in this movie. It's all fun. It's great. You know, she gets the weird Barbie and she's very confused. And the comedic timing is amazing. But then the first kind of emotional needle drop we almost get is at the bus stop.
Mm.
And it came out of nowhere. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, this movie is going to be more than what we thought it was going to be. And it was such a simple, small little thing that I just think really, really put it into a different category.
That moment at the bus stop, I think, is a moment for everyone. Where when you look at some, like, right, as viewers, you see an old woman and you're like, oh, she's old. Oh, you know, her beauty has faded.
Right.
And Barbie turns to her and says, you're beautiful. And she says, I know.
Ugh.
And
chills.
Yeah. And that is just, yes, you are beautiful at whatever stage in life you are, whatever you look like, whatever your body is like, you are beauty.
Right.
And you don't need an outside source like a Barbie to tell you that you're beautiful.
Even though a Barbie is telling you.
Right. And in that moment, like, you're sort of expecting this woman to go like, oh, thank you.
Right.
Oh, but she's like, I know. And yeah. It was like, yes.
She didn't need Barbie to tell her.
Of course you know. And I actually read an article, an interview with Greta Gerwig, where she had an argument with studio execs about that scene. They wanted to remove it, but she said, This scene is the scene that illustrates the point of the whole movie.
Right.
If I remove this scene, then why am I doing this? And I was like, mind blown, because as a viewer, you're watching it and you're like, damn, this scene, that small scene meant so much. And the intent was for it to mean so much.
Right.
I do want to comment on Margot Robbie. I mean, Oscar nominated.
Margot Robbie. Let's talk about that for a second, right? Because the Oscars, I feel like, coming up, or the Academy Awards, whenever they happen, the Emmys, I think, has just been announced that it's going to be delayed.
Right.
So the strikes are going to affect even the awards, which it should. But if we're going to talk about the awards, I think this movie is going to win something. It's going to win an award in some way. I'm curious if it's going to be up for picture or director.
I even wonder, maybe even screenplay.
Screenplay for sure.
Right?
I feel like it definitely could be nominated. Director might be hard. I feel like it could, but we have movies like Oppenheimer, which is like, depending on how the Academy's feeling, it's like, we love
dark and serious, baby. Yeah, yeah, and bio for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, Killers of the Flower Moon is coming out with Michael Scorsese. There's a lot of like contenders that are going to come up in this for sure. I hope it does. And one of the conversations around this, I think Margot Robbie is a shoe-in for lead, but Kennedy, should Ryan Gosling be nominated for supporting? I think so.
Oh,
I think, why not?
Well, he would be lead. He would be lead actor. I think he would go in as lead actor. And
why lead? I think supporting,
because he's the male lead. That's how it works. It's the female lead, the male lead, and then like Shruti Gatwa or Simu Liu would be.
But I feel like he wouldn't get in as lead. That's why I'm saying supporting. I think he could win supporting if he goes in as supporting, but lead, I don't think so. Like Cillian Murphy, I don't think he can be Cillian Murphy.
Sure, I guess so. It's if he's playing the game right, I guess, but he could be considered for the lead role in it. And, you know, I did feel a little guilty because I left the theater and I thought, man, Ryan Gosling killed it. He was hilarious. Mm. He was so, so, so funny. And then I read an article that was like, don't come at me after seeing Barbie and sing the praises of Ken.
Right.
You know, and I was like, oh, crap. I really messed this up, didn't I?
I mean, I think there's nothing wrong with, you know, he got a lot of the big funny moment, right? And Margot Robbie did a lot of physical comedy, and she did her comedic timing was fantastic, but she had a lot of the emotional beats in this. And I think it's perfectly fine to be like, oh, remember this Ken moment. But I think in the conversation, especially what the movie's about, in that also realize what Margot Robbie did, right? And I think that both of them did a fantastic job, but Ken really had some, I mean, the dream ballet in this with the Ken song and all the Kens fighting on the beach. Like, it was like a 5-minute fight, but it was just amazing.
It was hilarious. And, you know, you really do have to give it up to all the other Kens. My favorite Ken, other than Ryan Gosling, was Kingsley Benadire.
Oh, my God.
Who just brought another level of comedy. He was the sidekick Ken. He wanted to be the Ken.
He followed, like, he would literally follow Ryan Gosling's Ken just, like, behind him.
Yes. Just like a little puppy being like, what are we doing now? Should I do this? Should I do that? Even when they're on the beach. First of all, the Matchbox 20 slander. I don't know how I feel about it, but in that scene, I love all of the Kens are playing a guitar, and then there's the Kingsley Benadire Ken with a full drum set. Like,
yeah.
He just isn't like the rest of the Kens.
And that's fine.
He's just a little different than them.
Beautiful. He was amazing. And it was very jarring to see this, because when this movie came out, when we saw it, it was right after the penultimate episode of Secret Invasion. So we're seeing him be Gravik, and then we're seeing him be Ken, and I'm like, this dude's got range.
That's what I'm saying. We have another Margot Robbie on our hands here, people. They can do both the drama and the comedy.
Yeah. Out of the Barbies, my favorite, aside from Margot Robbie, has to be Weird Barbie.
Oh,
Kate McKinnon just really, I mean, also Issa Rae as president. I mean, I don't think there's really not strong Barbie.
Exactly. There's no bad Barbie. It's just like, which one did you connect with the most?
I think it was Weird Barbie.
Absolutely.
Like, I loved Weird. I also liked the Dr. Barbie. That Barbie was amazing. It was so good. But I do, like, this movie did a good job of, like, connecting to anybody's experience with Barbie. And it was either that you had Weird Barbies, or that you did do the doctor thing, or that you did the beach thing, or that you did whatever. My sisters had Barbies, of course, and I had to have action figures or whatever. But like, I did this thing where, like, I like to cut their hair, but not like cut it off. I would just like cut their hair.
Just a trim.
Especially depending on what profession they had.
Of course.
I'm like, oh, you're a doctor. It needs to be short. And my sister hated me because I did. I was like, but it's going to get in the patient's
body. That's very practical of you, Noah.
But I also did, my sister would discard some of her Barbies after she, like, destroyed them. I did like using those to play with and stuff like that. So, you know, it's just, it connects on all levels.
Yes. People. My Barbie experience, so I never had, like, a Barbie myself, but I did have all of the Sailor Moon dolls. I had all the Spice Girl dolls. As we can see, I had my favorite doll that I had was the Kelly Kapowski doll from Saved by the Bell.
Wow.
She was gorgeous. She had a 90s print mini dress and jacket on. And I saw that you can buy her for like $30 on eBay. So that's very real.
One might be coming in the mail.
Exactly. Exactly. The tragedy of that, she did end up being a Weird Barbie because my older brother decided what would happen if we tied her to the ceiling fan.
Cliff.
And for a little while, she was flying. It was really cool. But then she flew off and her hip broke. So then my mom had, like, and her leg fell out. Right. So my mom had to super glue her hip, but that meant her one leg couldn't hinge anymore.
Oh my
so she
God.
Couldn't sit.
Oh, so just, kind of like Weird Barbie.
But like one leg could go up, so she could do the splits.
Right.
But she, like Weird Barbie, but she was never the same.
Very much like Weird Barbie. My sister did like to draw all over them. So I did feel also just that extra connection to Weird Barbie. I'm like, that's how most of them look, to be honest.
I was lucky enough to have a best friend, Melissa, who let me play with her Barbies when I went over her house. She had the Clueless dolls, which was pretty bomb.
Yeah, but look, now you have Barbies. Still, tell me, sorry for those that aren't watching this, but you know, the runway Barbie.
Yeah.
When you brought that out, I was like, that does not look like a Barbie.
So this is a My Scene Barbie. Yeah. So this is when Barbie in the early 2000s was trying to compete with the Bratz dolls.
Oh, that's so, why she looks
yes,
like that.
So they made them like a little, you know, more flirty, a little sort of sexier. She's poutier.
Look at her feet.
So it's funny because the feet are actually her shoes.
Right.
But they come off, I guess. She's still in the box. I never removed her from the box because I was like 20 something when I got this. So I wasn't looking to play with it. Like my Spice Girl dolls, which were a hot mess. Their hair is just awful. But yeah, this was a challenge on. So this is really. So it was My Scene Barbie with a challenge on Project Runway.
Mm.
And if they won the challenge, their outfit got made into the doll.
Oh, that's really
and
cool.
And this is it. Yeah. So Nick Varios won this challenge.
Wow.
Yeah. Watch Project Runway every Wednesday at 10, 9 central only on Bravo.
Well.
And then it moved to Lifetime. And now I think it's on like Amazon Prime or something like that.
Hey, you got a relic. That's what that is.
It is. It's, I'm sure it's going to be worth $1 million someday.
Yeah. So the movie does a really good job of actually shifting the protagonist in a way. We got America Ferrera as Gloria, as the mother to Sasha, who also wee little played young Gamora in the Avengers movie.
I love it. I love seeing, like, because we're watching it, we're going, she was in something. Why right. do we know her? And we're like, ah, there you go.
Right.
And we just watched Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. And we discovered that Margaret was also in the MCU.
Yeah, she played young Cassie Lang.
That's right.
In the first Ant-Man movie. They're acting.
Exactly. They're out there, baby.
But America Ferrera's character, again, unassuming, came out of nowhere and just not only gave you this like, oh, I love this character and I love that she wants to be a good mom and that the whole reason behind Barbie going through this isn't because Sasha wasn't playing with her, but because America Ferrera, Gloria, wanted to play with Barbie because that's how she connected with her daughter.
Right.
And then it turned into a thing where it didn't really work out. So Barbie was being affected by that.
Right.
It was so cool because you got that trope of like when it was like, oh, you need to find the girl that doesn't play with you anymore or however she's feeling or whatever that connection is doing. I was like, oh, it's kind of tropey. Like,
it's okay. The moody teen.
Right.
Yeah.
But then when it flipped to the mom, I was like, oh, that's good. That's really good. And then she comes out with this speech at the end of the movie, and it just floors our whole audience. Everybody's dead silent. She did it again. Greta Gerwig does these speeches about womanhood, about personhood. She's done it in every single one of her movies. And this one is up there. It's so good.
When America Ferrera finished, I was so close to being like, yeah.
Right.
But nobody else did. So I was like, am I the man doing it, the first one? Oh, forget it.
I got the urge to clap. I thought people were going to clap, but in our movie theater, there was like a like 8-year-old's birthday party. There was like a group of
the dude bros.
Yeah, like 10 dude bros. And I was like, well, maybe they won't clap.
Yeah.
But I wanted to clap.
I know. I kind of wish we started it. I was like, after that, I was just like so enamored by everything she was saying. And I was like, yes,
yeah.
Yes. And then I thought the theater was going to explode and it didn't. And I was like, oh.
But inside we were.
Yes, I was ecstatic. I had fireworks inside of me.
I love that the, I believe it was the New York Times and a few other magazines, they posted just the entire monologue when the movie premiered. And I'm like, this is perfect. Like, this is something that needs, like, people just need to read, even if they're not going to go see the movie.
And she said that, I think she did it something like 30 times on set that day. Just, like, with the same passion and emotion. And just...
Oh. She also had to like do different versions of that speech to deprogram the Barbies.
Right.
Oh my God. So she just really, she knew that speech like the back of her head.
I love America Ferrera. I mean, I've loved America Ferrera since, you know, Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, Superstore. Ugly Betty, Superstore. She just keeps getting better and better. And I love seeing her grow, not only as an actor, but as a producer and a director. And she's just so incredible. And I loved seeing her really have this kind of co-starring role
right.
in the Barbie movie.
Right.
And I also loved, because, you know, again, they did a lot of these really sort of, these things where they were playing with your foolish expectations as an audience. So when you're seeing her and her daughter and the scenes that they depict between the two of them, you're like, oh, she must be a single mother. Oh, wow. You know, but then there's just some white guy back at the house trying to learn Spanish on Duolingo. So the dad is completely there. He's just in his own little world.
Si se puede.
Yes. And they're like, no, don't stop. It's just cultural appropriation now.
That's political.
The greatest thing is that that's America Ferrera's husband in real life.
Yeah.
Come on, people.
Why not? Why not?
I love this shit.
It's so good. One of our good friends actually pointed out that Sasha and her group of friends was actually named after the Bratz dolls. That's just like a level of detail that I think is so funny, because you have Barbie, who is stereotypical Barbie, who is the epitome of beauty and what, you know, a woman can be and everything. And she goes to Sasha, Gen Z, pretty much as a whole, and just rips her a new one. And I actually really liked that interaction, because it's like Gen Z doesn't give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to tell you exactly how it is. They're going to call you a fascist Barbie. Like, I loved it. I thought it was in no way was most of this stuff corny or cringy. Mm-hmm. Like, it could have been. It really was tipping the line of, like, if it wasn't said in that way, or if it wasn't delivered that way, or if what the words they were saying didn't make sense, it could have been. But, like, even just that little speech.
I mean, the question is, where is the Paula Abdul Bratz movie now? It doesn't hold a candle to the Barbie movie.
There's a Bratz movie?
Yes.
Like a live action?
Yes. But it's just about, like, you know, girls being girls and wearing fashion, you know, sort of thing. And I think Paula Abdul, like, directed it or choreoed for it or something like that.
Oh.
Yeah, it was bizarre.
Mm.
But, you know, in
Not Greta Gerwig's Barbie. Okay.
No. But when Barbie does get that sort of, like, talking to by Sasha and her friends, you kind of can't help but feel for her, because in Barbie land.
Perfect.
They think that everyone loves Barbie.
Right.
And so when she gets there, she's not expecting any of this at all, and it just breaks her little heart.
Oh, this, the same scene, I agree. I mean, I think it's a good, you know, it's almost like a coming of personhood movie, almost an identity, and like you can be whatever you want. And it is that like conflict, right? She needed to kind of be stopped short. And it's like, no, it's not. Everything's not perfect. Not everybody likes you just because you are stereotypical and you're perfect in your own way. But we also, in this same scene, get Ken finding out what the patriarchy is and men.
Fucking Ken.
I loved that.
What a turd.
The book he gets from the library says patriarchy on it, and it just has a horse. So the patriarchy consists of going nonstop about the Godfather.
Right.
Horses.
Yep.
And having belts with your name on it in the shape of the Metallica logo.
And martial arts. Of course. It just like nailed it.
It's so good. And this is like, it makes me laugh every time where you have like, if you go on the reviews or if you open up the internet or whatever, and you see these like dudes being like, this was the worst. And Ken had like low testosterone and blah, blah. And it's like, no, like you needed to watch this movie. Because, like, this movie not only showed you how the patriarchy isn't good for men, but it's not good for women, and vice versa. I mean, it's just, it really showed that, like, you do not need to be what these people say you need to be. Mm-hmm. Because, one, it's stupid and it's boring. But also, like, if you want to beach all day, beach all day.
Right.
You don't have to go do horses.
Your job is beach. Beach,
right?
Beach off, right. Beach off all day, baby. I do like the little bit of role reversal that is here, where, you know, when we see, like, when there's like action movies and things like that, there's the man who's the starring role, And then there's a lot of times a female character who is always like dressed skimpily in some way. And I kind of love that Ken just never wore a shirt.
Right.
He was the sex symbol and that was fine. And, you know, I loved that little bit of a role reversal that we saw. And it looked like Ryan Gosling was really working out before this movie.
I really enjoyed that he got to do just a pure comedic role. Mm. There was no romance involved in it. There was no like die or somebody's going to die in it. It was so funny. And I'm like, he's funny. Like he's able to be funny without the catalyst of it being trying to get with the person in the movie, even though he did. Well, but it's not about that.
Well, that's the thing, though, right? Is that he wanted it to be romantic. But Barbie, just because you're Barbie and Ken doesn't mean you have to be Barbie and Ken in that way.
You can be Barbie and Ken.
And Ken.
Yeah.
And her friend Ken.
Right.
You know, and like, so Ken couldn't get past that, that as Ken, I'm supposed to be with Barbie.
Right.
But Barbie was like, actually, no. Mm. I enjoy your presence, but I don't want it to go past anything but that.
Right, right. The Will Ferrell of this movie.
Will Ferrellist.
We have to talk about the Mattel part, right? And I feel like this is going to be my really only critique in the movie.
Okay, okay.
Is I didn't like any of the Mattel stuff. Hmm. I thought some of it was kind of funny, but I understand that they needed it. It just, to me, it was almost like the movie was like this and then went like this and then went back up. And it was because of that Mattel part, because it was goofy, but like goofy in the way of like it was funny.
Yeah,
I don't think it really fits with a lot of the movie. Maybe that's the point, but
it's the government, it's the man trying to control you.
Right.
So it's interesting. I didn't mind the real world Mattel stuff. I didn't think that they had to go to Barbie Land.
Well, that part also, I was just like, this is...
Why did the Mattel people have to go to Barbie Land? That I didn't understand. Other than it being a sex education
full-on
reunion, there was no reason for it.
Well, that was worth it, for one. But it almost felt like they did have a change of heart, and they did see that, like, oh, maybe we can sell, you know, Mojo Dojo Casa houses, and they would work. We could sell Depression Barbie, because who doesn't like Pride and Prejudice and a family-sized Starburst?
That is not just for Barbies. That is for everyone.
Even though that's very pointed to a specific, like, type of person, I think everybody can agree with that, because everybody has, like, that thing that they watch whenever they're, like, not doing anything or feeling depressed, and they always have their snack. Like, it was real.
It's an emotion. It's a very real thing. Absolutely.
And the Mattel commercials in the middle of this, so good.
How about
it's so good.
Okay, so this movie just takes things, and you're like, yes, of course. When they get her to go into the box, and then they start doing the twist ties around her. Oh, those twist ties, they always drive you insane. But I was like, just what a perfect detail for that.
Yeah, that was the Mattel part that I liked. I thought, you know, they kind of almost fell off at some point. You know, them being on the bike to get to Barbie Land was hilarious, because the bike never ended.
It was huge, yeah.
But they did kind of fall off, because at the end of the day, it's not about them. And I'm glad that at the end, they were a major part. They kind of were just brushed to the side and was like, go back.
Right.
Go back to where you came from.
They really didn't have anything to do with the finality of the movie and what actually happened.
Right. The production design of this movie, we can't not talk about this movie or review this movie without talking about all of the amazing work that went into the movie itself. The production design by Sarah Greenwood, doing this on a soundstage, making it look like a 1930s, 19, whatever, like Wizard of Oz.
I loved it.
It's good, because it really transports you to that. And it doesn't look cheesy, because it's something that we all know and are used to, but we don't get anymore. So like CGI, regardless, having those like matte backgrounds,
Like cranking everything, and actually, there were people actually moving.
Have you seen the behind the scenes footage?
I didn't see that, no.
With them like traveling to the real world. So they're like in the car, right? But then you have people cranking the road. And then cranking the screen behind
them. It's so good.
And then that wasn't CGI. It was actually screens and everything.
Just practical effects.
So good. And that it shows you that like you don't really need to rely on a green screen all the time.
Right.
And there's something special about seeing a movie like this. I love that it was a love letter to all of those movies and all like the Gene Kelly movies and everything. And you can tell that she's somewhat of like a musical movie theater nerd.
100%.
Because we got musicals in it.
Mm-hmm.
And the musical notes. And it's just, you know, see, like, this is the problem with doing a movie review where you love everything about it. Because it's like, I don't know what to say. It's just amazing.
Right. What? Just go watch it. You'll know what we're talking about.
Yeah. Like Lizzo.
Yes. Lizzo's- I love the Lizzo song. The soundtrack is incredible.
Yeah.
Hello, Dula Peep makes a cameo in it. She is Mermaid Barbie. She's gorgeous.
Yep.
But the Lizzo song that it changes the next day when things start going haywire.
Right.
Just so clever.
It's so, so good. I really liked that they did this thing. So I believe Mark Ronson was the one that did the music for this movie. And so once you get to that final scene with Ruth Handler and Barbie in that kind of, you know, dreamy, making the decision, it's very like Matrix-y almost. It's like, which pill are you going to choose? We get the Billie Eilish song, What Was I Made For? A phenomenal song. It's just the lyrics, the way she sings, she's great. Once you get to that, you realize that you've been hearing the song throughout the entire movie and it was leading to that. And those, again, those small decisions, like when you finally get to the finality of the movie, it's like, oh shit. Like they really thought it out. You know, it wasn't just cheap, you know, I'm going to do this music here. I'm going to remake this music here or whatever. It's like there was decisions and meaning behind doing all of that.
And I feel like in doing that, I feel like they broke some rules in a way where the movie itself starts out with that first teaser we ever got with the little girls playing with the dollies and then the big Barbie coming out. And then it shifts into Barbie land. So it's kind of like, oh, that's an interesting way to start it.
Mm.
And then during that scene between Barbie and Ruth, when we get the flashes of almost these home movies of real girls and real women existing and what it means to be human, like, to see that, again, it's this movie about a doll in Barbie, but it's really commenting on the real world. Having Barbie see that and experience that, that made me cry. It was so beautifully done, but it almost feels like a breaking of a rule in some way.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like in the sense of like, well, Barbie doesn't know these people, so how could she think of them? But it's not about that. It's about the experience of being human.
Right, right.
And it's just like, oh, it just knocked it out of the park, especially with that song playing.
Yeah, the decision. the final joke in this movie was amazing. It was so good because so she decides to become human. She decides to be a woman. She decides to have everything that a woman has and experience everything a woman has in the real world. And you think because she's wearing a blazer, she looks so much like, you know, kind of like Gloria had the blazers and everything. She's like, okay, I'm going to go to work. You think that she's going to work at Mattel and then she's there to see her gynecologist, which is like perfect. It's the perfect way to end the movie because it's like, yeah. Like, why not?
Yeah.
Of course.
And that must be a huge shift for Barbie because earlier in the movie, she clearly says, I don't have a vagina.
Yeah.
And now she has a reproductive system. She has to go to the doctor.
Yeah. I want to ask, do you think this movie is for kids?
No. I don't think it's for kids. I think kids can enjoy it. I wouldn't say, like, when I think of a movie for kids, I think of, like, you know, like, Beauty and the Beast. Or no, like, The Little Mermaid. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's for kids. Like, whereas this feels like it's commenting on things that are really for everyone.
Right.
So I wouldn't say that it's for kids.
But I think kids
could watch it.
Yeah, I feel like it's for everyone. Like, I think it's interesting because I think when we came out of the movie, we were like, it was like, oh, there's like some jokes that, like, you know, especially like the kids there and everything. But then like how I grew up, it's like I already knew all those words and I knew how like everything worked. So not saying like those jokes I would get, I would understand the words.
Yeah.
But I am actually really excited for a lot of parents across the country to have to explain what a gynecologist is to
totally
to their 8-year-olds.
Oh, it's very real.
It is one of those conversations I feel like people shouldn't be, you know, scared to
have. But they are.
Right.
They're so scared of it.
Right. But it almost makes me think that, like, you know, growing up, we had shows and movies or even stories where, like, they're kind of dark. like, you know, they're not, they're for kids, but like, they're kind of like intense. Like even The Wizard of Oz is like, that's an intense movie. So I feel like this is kind of up there with it where it's like, it's for everyone, but like kids can see it. Adults can see it.
It's like, I feel like it's the opposite of Bluey.
Yeah. Well,
where, you know what I mean? Like Bluey is technically for kids, but like parents can watch it and will be like, oh, my heart.
Right.
Whereas like Barbie is like, kids can watch it, but I don't know. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's for everyone, but like the audiences, like the core audiences, I think are different for the two, but they really are for everyone.
Yeah.
But they have a greater message than just being silly or something.
Right. I agree. Yeah. I think everybody should see it. Men, women, anybody should see this movie because it's very important and it's saying something just like all of our other movies have said something. And it's interesting that this movie isn't really necessarily a coming of age movie. But like more than that. So it's like it's nice to see her branching out from that coming of age and like that story that, like, almost.
Lady Bird sort of thing.
Right, right. Oh, amazing. You know, there was one scene that sticks out to me as like this was definitely not necessary. And I only feel like there's two critiques. Okay, I lied. There's two. Huh. Is the car chase scene, because that felt almost like blatant product placement to me.
Get this car.
Yeah.
Buy this car.
Totally. Like a car commercial with Margot Robbie and America Ferrera.
Totally. Yes. That was sort of hilarious. But yeah, I think I was kind of like, yeah, sure. She knows how to drive like that, I guess.
She's America Ferrera. She can.
She might as well be called America Ferrari.
What car? Never mind. Let's not give it a name.
Give it the product
placement. No, let's not give it a name.
Sponsor us.
I don't want to get... Sponsor us.
Sponsor us.
I think it's wild that Mattel agreed to this. I'm excited that they agreed to it. I mean, I don't know what else to say. What I mean, is there anything that you want to touch on before we kind of wrap this up?
I just, you know, as a whole, I love the representation throughout the entire movie. And while we didn't have necessarily... like, I don't know, in the scripts of the movie, LGBT characters, but there were.
Right. There's trans actors.
There's trans actors. I even feel like Shruti Gatwa's character might have been queer, because at the end he says, I want to just hang out with my friend Barbie.
Right.
Who happens to be his co-star Emma Mackey.
Right.
In Sex Education.
I love that they put her in it. Because a point was because she looks like Margot Robbie.
Totally.
Like, that's what Greta Gerwig said. She was like, yeah, because I thought it'd be funny because it's like, they're Barbies.
They're Barbies. But I think as a whole, I just loved the representation throughout it. I love what it said. I want to see it again. Yeah. I just thought it was so hilarious and so poignant and moving. It just hit all the marks that I personally love in a movie.
I agree. Yeah. And this movie, I mean, it's no surprise that within a week it made $500 million. It's projected this weekend to make over $700 million. So I hope it gets the Barbie billion, because it would just be so great that movie did it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's great. Everybody should see it. There's not much that, like, I feel I can say that we haven't already said online that anybody else hasn't said. It's just, it feels like a celebration of something that, like, everybody is enjoying. And we don't get that often, especially with a movie that's not a already established franchised IP. Like, even though this is a franchise IP almost, it's something that's new and people are really resonating with. Also, the memes are amazing. The memes, the marketing, it's just...
The marketing is out of control.
It's so... The people at Warner Bros. That did the marketing, they need to, like, give them more money. Give your actors and writers and everything money.
Yeah.
Also, give your marketers more money, because without them, I don't think this movie would have been.
Yeah, there was just something about the timing and the work and the marketing. It just all hit exactly how and when it was supposed to.
So good.
And I'm glad that it's for a movie that really said something and was incredibly entertaining.
That really, really said something. And it's for everybody. It's such a great movie to show what women go through in the country with the patriarchy, what men go through with the patriarchy. Not so much, but it is there. And I think it was good that they had that conversation. But it's a celebration of a movie. Ken, I feel like we didn't really talk about him that much. which I almost think is fine.
Yeah.
Because he's funny. He's hilarious. I hope that he actually has a Mojo Dojo cocktail house, dream house, because nobody knows where they sleep.
The biggest piece of merch is the I Am Knuff crop top sweatshirt that he wears at the end. And it is real. So that is just smart.
I feel like it's not the exact one, and it made me kind of sad.
Because the one in the movie is cropped. I think it's a regular full-size one, but it's something about that sassy little crop that he has that just makes it even more perfect.
Ah, so good. I'm glad that they didn't get together. I'm glad that she had that conversation with him. It just made it like, you almost expected it to go that way. You almost expected it to be Barbie and Ken, and for it not to be that, and Barbie to be like, dude, chill out. Like, we're just friends. And like,
I think you're great.
Right. I think you're fantastic. But as you do beach and I will do me.
And I will do real world.
Yeah. What do you think about another one?
See, it's hard with things like this, right? Mm. Because we're greedy. So when we love something, we want a second helping. But, you know, sometimes when you go back for that second plate of spaghetti, you feel sick afterwards. And it's not as good. It's not as good.
Yeah.
You know, the greedy part of me wouldn't love another one. But I want to leave these characters where they are. I think they learned exactly what they needed to learn. Unless it was an origin story for Weird Barbie, that I would take.
Or even Alan.
Yeah, give us a prequel.
Michael Cera's Alan, fantastic. Oh, standout in this movie. And I feel like a lot of people aren't talking about him. But I just kind of love that he was never part of the Kens. And he was just always like, I just like want to do my thing.
Yeah,
like,
I'm just enjoying life. I don't think we have to be one thing or the other thing. We could just be Alan.
He also had a fight scene, which I...
Yeah. I love when they were building the wall, but they just kept building it up. He's like, once they figure out how to go in the other direction, we're doomed.
So good. I'm glad Michael Cera is back. I feel like he's in a lot more stuff coming up and he has that range now.
Yeah.
It's exciting. I mean, I think... What would you rate this?
I was just going to ask you that.
We have to rate.
5 stars, baby. Yeah.
I would say 5 stars.
Yeah.
Like, almost to me, it was like the corporate stuff. Didn't almost knock down half a star if I could do like a 25, like 0.25, just because I'm like, I wanted that to be
so
a little.
So 4.75 stars?
So 5.
4.75 stars?
So I think averaging it, it's a 5. It's a 5 for us. But let us know what you thought. We'd love to know. Go on our Discord, just add us or whatever. I mean, I'm pretty sure we've seen most of what everybody has to say, but let's just keep this Barbie conversation and the Barbie world going, because that's great.
I just want to keep seeing the numbers go up.
Oh, yeah.
More and more and more.
Everybody go see it every weekend. Let's get to the Barbie billions.
Yes. Get that Barbillion.
Did you, before we go, I did want to put this out there. So Mattel is thinking about doing like its own universe, like cinematic universe. Yeah. You've seen the list. What do you think about that?
The only one I'm excited for, Polly Pocket, I loved Polly Pocket. I actually like Mighty Max, but anyway, which is like the boy version.
Wow, such a Ken.
Mighty Max, Mighty Max. I don't have any of those, but... If the wishbone they're talking about is the dog who goes through literature, if they make that a movie, I will lose my mind.
It has to be. I mean, on this list of movies that they released, there's Uno, Magic 8 Ball, Masters of the Universe, which, okay. What's another one? Oh, Hot Wheels?
Yeah.
Rock'em Sock'em Robots? I'm like, the cool thing about this is I don't think they're all interconnected.
Right.
But like... I'm excited to see what they do with it, because if they do like a Barbie treatment to some of these, it would be very interesting.
Well, I guess that's my question, is that are they going to make it these sort of meta takes on these products, or is it just going to be like, I don't know.
Who knows?
Rock'em Sock'em Robots, they're boxers, or I don't even know.
Yeah.
Or are they going to do like Waiting for Godot with the Rock'em Sock'em Robots?
No. I hope not.
It's waiting around, punching things.
So final thoughts. I think that having the Barbies appease the Kens in the end to take over, to take back Barbie Land, to gain support of the Constitution and Supreme Court is amazing. And it's a great climactic thing to do for this movie. That's all I'm going to say.
I wish that there was more Nicola Coughlan. There, I said it. Other than just giving out the Nobel Prizes. But yeah, perfect. That's my critique.
But perfect that she was in it. Yes. I mean, more Issa Rae. True. You know, really, they could do more Barbie movies with each one of them and going through whatever journey they need to. Day in the life of the president of Barbie Land.
What it must. There's a lot of responsibility. Yeah. Is the beach beaching? Are we, in fact, dancing the night away, or do we just dance it somewhat?
And is Simu Liu going to stop wanting to compete with Ken at some
point?
Or
is it a forever rivalry?
Or are they going to smooch?
Okay. Now we're talking. Now we're talking.
All right. Till next time.
Till next time.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to A Bite Of. Artwork and editing by our own Noah. Be sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at A Bite Of Pod. And on Facebook at A Bite Of. If you have any questions, recommendations, or just want to say hi, you can contact us on abiteofpod.com. Please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review to spread the word. See you next time on A Bite Of. Bye.